MSNBC proxy to Steve directly, I guess, if we're both going to be off the call at the same time.
Okay, thanks, Marilyn. I think, I mean, honestly, I think if we may have to do what we did last time and also allow people to confirm votes by email as well as by telephone, just given the level of participation we have right now. But having said that, I'm going to go ahead and start. We're still missing, Glenn, am I right? We're still missing the ISPs and the non-commercials?
That's right.
Okay. Well, we're going to start anyway. So the agenda for today, the most pressing item on the agenda is to finalize the recommendation based on the series of suggestions that we started to discuss last week and that I sent out emails on, which we have had some discussion on list this week. And then once we finalize the recommendation that we agree upon as a task force, then we will vote on the recommendation for the purposes of endorsing it or not. And then Maria will publish the preliminary report for public comment, I guess. And let me add one more item between the recommendation and the vote on the final, and the vote on the recommendation, we'll also add a brief discussion of the changes to the report. And I think that only Kathy Kleiman has suggested any changes. I think a couple of people just joined. Could you let us know who you are?
This is Milton.
Hello, Milton. Anyone else?
Ken Stubbs, Jordan.
Hi, Ken. Okay, we're doing a little bit better. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and then anyone else have anything they want to add to the agenda? We may also get to I'm going to defer the discussion of the purpose of who is just to try to keep this call relatively brief and to give us time to have a little bit to prepare for it a little bit more. So, to that end, anyone else have anything else they'd like to tackle on the agenda today? Okay, good. So, the first item on the agenda then is a discussion of the various suggestions for changes that we have seen discussed on the list. The first, I'm just going to run through them in the order. I sent them out last week. There were seven. I'm going to run through them in order. The first proposed change, originally from the registries and then modified based on our discussion last week, was to essentially add language making the exception apply to those registries or registrars to which the specific conflict applied. On the list, we've had discussion. We had a suggestion from Tom Keller, agreed with by Ross, Tim, and David Maher, basically saying, let's just leave the original language and pose a question to the along with the posting for public comment. Steve asked then if we could clarify the question. So at this point, I haven't had anyone. Tom's proposal to leave the original language and pose the question in the public comment, sort of the last email discussion we've had. I'm certainly fine with that approach. I think we would want to clarify the language briefly on this call for the questions.
Can I interrupt there?
Yeah, I was going
to. I will object to concluding anything on the questions on this call. If someone wants to pose a question, and basically it's an addition to the report, they should circulate it and we should comment on it. So that option is not acceptable.
So Steve, would you would you want then to amend it as was described, or to leave it as is?
I support your change number one. But if we don't do change number one, then let's then we'll just stick with the language that was there.
Jordan, is it helpful for you to do a quick straw poll on that as we go through?
Yes, it may be, given that that Steve seems a little uncomfortable. Why don't we just, I'll just run through the list of attendees that I have and see if people would prefer to pose a question in the report, to accept the proposed change, or just to leave the report as is. I think I have a role. If I miss anyone, Glenn can let me know. First person.
You clarify, this is David.
Yeah, sure.
You clarify what it is we're voting on.
It's just a straw poll, really, David. But the three options are: this is for suggestion number one, which is this would add language. The suggestion is to add language to the policy recommendation, as well as to the procedure, to make the exception apply to those registries or registrars to which the specific conflict applies. So it's not a universal, it's a slight change from the original language that the registrars proposed to make it apply to all registries or registrars, but here it would just apply to those registries or registrars that the conflict applies to. That's the proposed change. So the three choices are to accept the proposed change, to reject the proposed change, or to simply pose a question along with the public comments.
And what would that question be, Jordan?
The question would be, we didn't quite get to the point, Steve, of clarifying it, because you objected.
Well, then we don't know what we're voting on.
But I would say that the question would be along the lines of, should any exception granted apply only to the registry or registrar that initiated the procedure, to all registries and registrars that the conflict applies to, or to all registries or registrars? I think that would be the question.
Or number three, to put this put out the recommendation with no changes, but make these questions for public comment.
Correct. That choice number three is to ask basically the same question I just posed, and to make that a question posed for public comments along with the report.
Okay.
And this is Milton. I'm a little confused too. So what was Steve objecting to?
Please.
Okay.
What Jordan is proposing is an amendment to the report. The report has been circulated, and we had some comments from Kathy on the list. When this concept of amending the report to add some questions first came up, I said I assumed we would get a chance to look at these questions before voting on them, and that hasn't been done. So I don't think we should adopt any questions. If the third option wins, then I assume that we should circulate questions and have a discussion about it.
So the first option is to change nothing. The second option is to add this change to this language that Jordan has suggested. And the third option is to change nothing but put the question into a separate part of the report.
Into like a cover note or something, yes.
Okay. So that's what we're voting, straw polling.
That's what we're straw polling on right now.
Is accepting your language option one or option two? Because
why don't we just say accept, reject, or pose question as the choices.
So one is accept, two is
reject, and three is pose questions.
Okay. Well, why don't we just vote on one and two first, and then we can vote on whether we want to pose a question.
Okay, actually, that's probably a good idea, Milton. I would, if we have general support for accepting the change, then there's no reason to pose the question. So we'll take a brief straw poll now on what the support in the task force is for accepting this change to make the exception apply to all to those registries or registrars to which the conflict applies. So, everyone clear on the question? Yeah, Ken?
No, I'm not, and that's the reason I need to ask a question here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry to bother you, but let me take an example, and I'll use Schlund again. Suppose that we run into a conflict situation with Schlund, okay? And so an exception is granted to Schlund. Now, in the case of thin registry, that has no impact on the registry at all. But in the case of the thick registry, displaying the data, in other words, are we saying that if an exception applies to a registrar, does one of the circumstances automatically attach that exception to any registry that would normally display the registrant data in a format similar to what the registrant did? Or are you saying that if a registrant has to apply for an exception, then the registry needs to go in and apply for the same exception? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't think anyone, if it was the same exception, I think, under the change, no one would need to apply for the same exception. The point is that it would apply to all registries or registrars that the conflict applied to. Now, the conflict may or may not actually apply. I mean, it's tough. We have no idea what the conflict will actually be. But some conflicts may say you can't display any German registrant's, any individual German registrant's telephone number, I don't know, hypothetically. In that case, I think that would apply to both registries and registrars, or it could be something related to the collection of data, which would apply only to registrars, probably, because registries don't collect any data.
You can understand my concern. I don't want to create a legal mess. Because hypothetically, you can get a registrar that may be in a domicile where there would be requirements placed on that registrar that would require the registrar to ask for an exception. I don't want somebody coming along saying, well, that's just something that's unique to their domicile, and as far as we're concerned, we think the registry should still display the data because we don't think they're subject to it. I think there has to be some sort of a methodology, and the reason I'm bringing that up now is because it has a lot to do with how the questions are considered by us as in terms of how we vote. If you assume that there's a uniform methodology here, that whenever a registrar is granted an exception, the exception would automatically attach to the registry that would be obligated to display the data in a similar nature that the registrar would. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, so can I, the language right now, the only question on the table is whether to add language saying that the exception would apply to those registries / registrars that the conflict applies to. So I think it would be up to the staff to provide some more detail when they formulate the actual procedure and to consider the individual cases as to how that would actually be applied. But if the question on the table is whether or not we should add language to the report, I mean add language to the policy recommendation saying that instead of just applying to the registrar that filed the request, that it should apply to those registries or registrars to which the conflict applies.
George, it's Marilyn.
I'm on the phone.
George, I have to interrupt you because I'm going to be interrupted. Assuming you're still voting on accept the change or reject, I'm going to vote accept. Be disconnected, and then I'll dial back in.
Okay, thanks, Marilyn. So, Clint, Ken, are you clear on that now? My reading of that is it probably would apply to a registry, assuming a conflict applied to the registry as well. But there's some more detail. I mean, the staff will ultimately create the procedure and determine how exactly it's applied. Okay, any other questions, or I'm going to move on to the straw poll. Okay, then let me just briefly run through the roll I have. Thule, would you vote to accept or reject that change? Or would you, I don't know, we'll say vote still. It's a straw poll. Thule? Okay. How about David Maher?
I'm going to vote to reject at this time.
Okay. Ken?
Yeah, I'm going to stay with David at this point in time. I need some more elaboration on this thing. It's very confusing to me because we have two different potential consensus policies here that are being promulgated, one that would apply to registrars and one would apply to registries. So.
Actually, Ken, the thing I will note is this change actually adds the word registry where it didn't exist before. I think we could do that independently, but before it only said registrar in the policy recommendation, and now it's being changed to say registry / registrar.
I'm going to stay with David.
Okay.
Straw poll, you know.
Fine. That's fine. Nicholas?
I think Steve has already expressed the position of our constituency.
Okay, Steve?
Yeah, we can accept this one.
Marilyn voted to accept it. David?
Accept.
Sarah?
Accept. Accept.
Great, thank you. Milton?
We're accepting... I'm really confused now. I thought that Steve didn't want any changes, and I just heard him vote to accept this change. Am I completely confused about what we're voting on?
Steve didn't want the questions posed, but he's fine with the substance of the change. Would be the way of expressing it. Is that right, Steve?
Yeah, this is the language that was circulated a week ago, and everyone's had a chance to think about it.
Okay, so this is the midway point between uniformity, complete uniformity of any exception, and case-by-case exceptions, right?
Correct. This is the exception would apply to to all the registries or registrars that particular conflict applied to.
Okay, then that change would be acceptable to me.
Okay. And Tim? Pardon?
Right, hello, straw.
You're the only registrar on today, so you have a vote.
Okay, and then I guess just based on what was on the list, I guess I'd have to say reject.
Okay, so we have...
hello, it's Julie. Sorry, I had to pop out of the conference call as we join now. Could I vote, please?
Certainly, go ahead.
I think I'll reject this one as well.
Okay, thank you.
So who is that?
That was Julie. I believe it's a new rep from the registry constituency.
Hello, sorry, my name's Tuli Day. I'm from CETA.
Okay, so that leaves us with seven. Did I miss anyone? Let me just make sure. Okay, seven votes in favor and four against.
Did you get seven, Jordan? I got six in favor.
You got six. I have Nicholas, Steve, Marilyn, David, Sarah, and Milton.
Yes.
So I think that's seven. One, two, three, four, five. Nope, you're right. It's six.
Six
to four. Okay. It's not an overwhelming majority, but I think at this point...
Jordan, can I? Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Tim.
I just curious because there's a a kind of an unbalanced representation from the different constituencies.
There is actually the registries which voted against had the most votes, so it's 4-2 by a constituency. Does that help clarify, Tim?
Okay. I got it.
Okay. So what I'm going to, I think that we, just in the interest of moving this ahead, we still do have the option of listening to public comments on this. This seems like, I think I'm inclined to, based on the vote, to include this change and hope that we can continue to consider this issue as we go on, and especially if we have public comments on this topic. so we'll do that. I'm going to move on to the next suggestion then. And the next suggestion is to... I've lost my list of suggestions. Give me 1 second. Okay, so revised change number 2 is from the registries, and it's to insert into the recommendation essentially language saying that registries or registrars could use tiered access as a way of resolving a conflict. And I think I've seen, David supported this, and I think I've seen a number of comments opposed to this. Is anyone other than David in support of this change?
What was the change again?
The change is, this is revised change number 2, and it inserts into the...
Registries and registrars may use tiered access as a means of complying with local legal requirements when applicable.
Yes, that's the change.
I just want to say that I have no objections to it, but that I sort of agree with people who said that it's somewhat odd to highlight a particular technique or mechanism for compliance when we don't do that somewhere else, so that including it causes some potential problems. I would think that it is implicit, even without that addition, it is implicit within the what is said here, that tiered access, you know, if tiered access allows people to comply, then it allows it to comply. It seems to be already contained within whether we say it or not. I just wonder how David would respond to that.
Thank you, Milton. I'm not sure that it's implicit as a means of compliance. It seemed to me tiered access has been discussed at some length, particularly in the original task forces 1 and 2. There was a study made and a survey of who was using it. The principal user that I know of right now is .name, which has a formal tiered access approach built into their registry agreement with ICANN. And if because of the prior discussion in the task force, it seemed to me that as a concept, it's worth mentioning as a means of achieving compliance with particular national law.
But under the exceptions procedure, my understanding is that registrars and registries can do whatever they have to do to comply, so that, if that means tiered access, it would mean tiered access. I mean, something else would mean something else.
Yeah, well, it's not shall use, it's may use in a suggested language.
Right, David, I will note that the .name tiered access essentially came about through a less formal but some sort of ad hoc exception procedure that the .name people worked out with ICANN, and the end result was tiered access. So it seems like what Milton's saying is, you may end up there anyways.
I imagine that's true. I still think I think it adds to this recommendation to mention this as a possibility for achieving the compliance with law as may be required from time to time.
It's Marilyn. I'm back on briefly. Are you going to take comments on this, Jordan?
I am. The original question I asked while you were off the call is if anyone other than David was in favor of this change.
Yeah, this is Ken Stuff. There are certain aspects of it I like, but I have a question that I need to ask. So put me in the queue behind Marilyn, please.
Okay, sure. So Marilyn, then Ken.
I'm not speaking in support of it. I just wanted to clarify where I was. I'm not speaking in support of adding in this this example, so I don't support Mickey. I don't support two. I'm going to be dropping on and off. Sorry about that.
No problem. Thanks, Marilyn. Go ahead, Ken.
Yeah. Again, I'm concerned because I'm starting to see the potential for a convoluted mess here. I think we have to try to, you know, Jordan, you write code, or at least you administer it and you understand it. We need to develop some sort of methodology somewhere down the road that applies, that allows for consistency. I don't want to have a situation where tiered access may be acceptable in some cases, but not in other cases. So in those cases, we have to have exceptions not to display at all. You know, if that's the case, we're going to run into a very serious problem for implementation of any proposed system down the road. And I think that what we need to do is, one thing we need to look at is to send a clear message that whatever system we desire to put in place or whatever the proposed policy is, it needs to have as one of the basic tenets a consistency that allows both implementation and interpretation. Otherwise, I could see a situation where we are not allowed to display this data at all for this registrar, but we can display data for other registrars on a tiered access basis, or, you know, I mean, those people who were involved with the .name deal understand that that was something that was imposed on them principally by the data protection people in the United Kingdom where they're situated. This wasn't something that they even really wanted to begin with. They had to modify their contract with ICANN in order to get into compliance with the British data protection people. So I'm just very, very concerned about how this could be implemented in a way that makes any sense.
Ken, I will note that we do have, there is throughout the recommendation and the procedure, the principle of uniformity is reflected throughout. But I agree that the reason why we have a lot of other work to do in the task force is because we want to address some of these issues in a more cohesive way.
Gordon, this is David. Unfortunately, I have to drop off, but I wanted to vote to oppose the amendment, too.
Okay, thanks, David.
Sorry about that.
No problem. So let me ask again. Anyone other than David or Ken in favor of this change? Okay, with that in mind...
Well, even the registrars, so it would appear then that even the registrars don't feel that they... that they could use tiered access.
Well, I think Ross sent a note to the list, and he's just one registrar, obviously, but indicating that he didn't support this change at this time.
Is Tom on? Carl, can I ask Tom what his feeling is on it? Because he's living in an environment where this is much more sensitive than certain other areas.
Yeah, Tom's not on right now, unfortunately.
Okay.
Only Tim's the only registrar on. Tim, do you have a view on this?
I would agree with Ross that I mean, it's undefined at this point. We don't really know, you know, what do we mean by tiered access. It isn't clear that everybody even supports the concept of tiered access. It just seems kind of premature, especially in the recommendation portion of this. You know, if it was, you know, as some possible thing within the advice, that might be a different story, but this is actually included as a recommendation, something that may be implemented. So I think that, for the most part, registrars could not support it for that reason.
Yeah. So given that I'm not hearing, I think, sufficient support for this to some opposition to include it So I think we're going to have to mark change number two as rejected by the task force, and then we'll move on to proposed change number three. This proposed change comes from the IPC, and it relates to confidentiality. And the change is essentially, was modified somewhat on our call last week. So the revised change adds language relating to confidentiality, saying essentially that although throughout the entire procedure, including later steps, confidentiality should only be granted in those circumstances where it is necessary, keeping in mind, and then it goes on with some existing language in there saying the other legal responsibilities and basic principles of transparency applicable to ICANN operations. There is a clause that's been removed as well that was somewhat in conflict with this recommendation. So this essentially, the old language read that it is recommended that ICANN respond favorably to such requests to the extent that they can be accommodated with other responsibilities and basic principles of transparency applicable to ICANN operations. So I think in the old language, confidentiality, there is a, I would call it a bias in favor of approved
Tony
confidentiality,
Harris.
And here there might be, the change might move the throttle the other way and bias the general procedure against granting confidentiality, except where required. And here we've had discussion on the list with, I believe, both Milton and Ross indicating they don't support the change. I'm glad to open this up briefly for discussion one way or the other. Or if no one wants to discuss, I'll do another straw poll and see where we stand on this. Okay, straw poll it is. So, once again, the question is, should the in step number one, should the of the guidance on the procedure, not in the policy recommendation, but should step number one be changed to insert language saying, although throughout the entire procedure, including later steps, confidentiality should only be granted in those circumstances where it is necessary, versus the old language, which said that it is recommended that ICANN respond favorably to such requests, meaning confidentiality requests, to the extent that they can be accommodated with other legal responsibilities and basic principles of transparency applicable to ICANN operations. So a vote in favor would be to adopt the change and make it so that confidentiality would be only granted when it's necessary. So I think Thule dropped off. So David?
No, I'm back.
Oh, you are. Okay, Thule, would you favor that change or
well,
be opposed to it?
Unfortunately, because this is my first call, I think I'd be guided by David Mayer and Ken on this one.
Certainly.
Is David and Ken there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, cool.
David, your thoughts on this?
I don't feel strongly about it, but I feel that it, in general, it's not a good recommendation.
So you'd be opposed to that? Okay. Ken?
As would I.
Okay.
And I think I would be guided by their recommendation, so I would oppose it too.
Okay. Nicholas?
I would support it, Jordan.
Thanks, Nicholas. Steve?
I would support it.
Marilyn or David, are either of you on right now? I think David's gone. Marilyn, are you on the call right now?
I'm on, and I will support it. And I'll vote proxy to David. I don't know if Sarah's still on.
I'm on, and I support it as well.
Okay. And Tony Harris?
Yes, I support it.
Okay. And Milton?
I oppose the change.
And Tim?
Oppose the change.
Okay, so that, Glenn will help me with my math here again, I'm sure, but I have 6 in favor and 5 against. Is that right, Glenn?
I get 5-5.
Oh, you get 5? See, well, Glenn is much better at math than me, perhaps. So I have Nicholas, Steve, Marilyn, David, proxy, I guess. Do we have a proxy?
Okay, well, if we count two there, then you're right.
And, but in any case, I think we're deadlocked 3-3 with regards to constituencies. Is that correct?
And if you count the people voting, in fact, you've got three in the registry constituency, and you've got one person in the ISP constituency.
No, we have two. We have both Sarah and Tony from the ISPs, but we only have one from both.
Sarah's from BC.
Is she? Oh, I'm sorry.
Maggie can't be on the call. She's in.
Yeah, you're right. So we have Tony, Milton,
and
Tim. Yeah, there's only one from three of the. But in any case, with 3-3 in constituencies, and 6-5. Yeah, sorry.
That's all right. I just also might at least point out the fact that I believe that Ross Rader posted clearly against that change as well. Even though he's not here, at least we should take into consideration the fact that there was a clear message sent in terms of his feelings, even though he's not on the call list.
Thanks, Ken. I think this is just a straw poll.
It's a straw poll. It isn't important. All I'm saying is that it's quite clear that there is no clear consensus one way or the other for inclusion. So,
yeah, that's what I was just going to say. It's a bare majority in terms of votes, and there's a deadlock in terms of constituency support for this. I would say that at this point we ought not to include this particular change. Although the IPC recommendation will still be included in the report, obviously. So, I think we will leave this language as is without the recommendation at this point, or the suggestion. With that, I'm going to move to suggestion number four.
I have to get off in 10 minutes. I give my proxy to David for any straw polls.
Okay. We will also have an official vote, Ken, as well, to support the recommendation or not. Okay, in any case, the proposal number four is from the registrars. We didn't discuss it last week. It is to add in step two of the guidance a new paragraph between the first and second paragraphs that exist right now, and that paragraph would read, "The registrar should attempt to identify a solution that allows the registrar to meet the requirements of both the local law and ICANN obligations. The general counsel can assist in advising the registrar on whether the proposed solution meets the ICANN obligations." I'm going to propose an editorial amendment here to just where it says registrar to say registry/registrar in each of those sentences. So it would be read, "The registry registrar should attempt to identify a solution, ... I don't think we've had any discussion of this on the list.
George, it's Marilyn.
Yeah, go ahead, Marilyn.
Can I make a comment?
Sure, go ahead.
I would speak in support of the spirit of this amendment as I read it. I should have posted that on the list. It seems like a pragmatic and proactive approach being proposed, and it says should attempt, which allows the flexibility if they're not able to define a solution that meets both, then I would think that the rest of the procedure is still available. But it seems like a very pragmatic and positive gesture.
Yeah, I think this paragraph really just clarifies, I think, what we've all discussed being the intent of the procedure all along, that it's only to apply where, for some reason, this can't be resolved, these conflicts can't be resolved, that the registry or registrar should always attempt to resolve the conflict on their own first. Okay, so Marilyn supported this. Anyone else want to speak either for or against this change?
This is Milton.
Yeah, Milton, go ahead.
I just remember in our first exchange with the ICANN staff about this, that John Jeffries was a little bit worried about acting as a legal counsel to registrars. I mean, as Marilyn, I support the spirit of this. I don't have any problem with it. I'm just concerned about getting another one of these strange reactions from ICANN's management throwing up their hands and saying we can't do this or something, or we don't want to do this or something like that. So just bear that in mind.
Sure. I think that this suggestion does narrow what the general counsel is supposed to do, at least somewhat. It says they're only assisting and advising the registrar on whether the solution meets their ICANN obligations.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the law or the conflict with the national law. So hopefully the general counsel will be prepared to advise. I would hope as a general matter registrars could talk to the general counsel about whether or not they're meeting their ICANN obligations. Anyone else have comments on this?
This is Steve. I would support what Milton said, and with the caveat that he raised that we may not get a great reaction to this, but I think that this is consistent with what we've been trying to do.
Great. So would either of you propose any sort of amendment to this, or you're fine with the current language?
I think it's okay as is. I think it again, this is just a guidance that we're giving now, so if they don't like this sentence, I assume they will drop it out.
But. Yeah, that's correct. This is just in the guidance on the procedure, so it's not a binding consensus policy if it were adopted.
Jordan, this is Ken Stubbs. I'm back in again, and the only thing I will point out here is consistency. Every time you talk about registrars, you need to put in a / registry. We have the same situation with this. Up further in the paragraph, we talk about registrar, registry. Here it should be the same thing. The registrar / registry should attempt to
Yeah, I agree with that, Ken. I did try to introduce that as an editorial revision when I introduced the suggestion.
I'm sorry, I'm just looking back at the original two lines.
Yeah, no problem. I think as a general concept, I will work with Maria to make sure that the policy applies to registry / registrar throughout, unless there's any objection to that. Okay, so on this particular suggestion number four, is there anyone opposed to this proposal? Okay, great. We will we'll accept that change into the final text then. Proposal number five, moving on, is from the IPC, and this changes step four. It adds text to the end of the first sentence of step four, and so the new sentence would read, keeping in mind the anticipated impact on operational stability, reliability, security, or global interoperability of the Internet's unique identifier system, and the value of uniform WHOIS requirements, applying to all registries / registrars to the extent possible. That last part, and the value of uniform WHOIS requirements applying to all registries registrars to the extent possible, is the addition. And then the rest of the sentence reads, the board should consider and to take appropriate action on the recommendations contained in the general counsel's report as soon as possible. So this is essentially an insertion to ask that the board consider the value of uniform WHOIS requirements applying to all registries and registrars to the extent possible. Has there been discussion of this on the list? I don't think I see any.
There is a comment from Ross on this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 31st of August.
Where have I lost it?
Ross. Yeah, Ross thought we should stick to the original language.
Oh, you know what? I filed this in a separate folder. Okay, thanks. Okay, anyone else have comments on this?
David, I think we should stick with the original language.
Okay. Any other comments?
Well, I just would point out that, let's see, this is change number 7?
No, this is change number 5.
Change number 5? Oh.
Yes.
Okay, never mind. We're still on 5.
Now there are other references to uniformity throughout the report. Just this applies specifically to the board.
According to my copy, number 5 is this one about consulting with the ICANN General Counsel.
That's odd. I'm looking at my.
Are you looking at Jordan's red line, or are you looking at his separate postings? Because
I'm looking at his red line.
Oh yeah, that won't quite match. So this will be, Milton, if you scroll down to step 4.
Step 4, okay.
You'll see an insertion in step 4.
Okay, that's number 6 in the other one. So,
yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So that's the change
yeah.
that we're discussing right now.
Yeah, okay, and David came out against this change?
Yeah, Ross on the list, and apparently David just indicated he thinks the original language is okay.
And again, these...
have two eyes.
Well, I just want to say I think it makes sense to... given the earlier change we made regarding application of the changes, the exceptions to other registrars, registries in like condition, I think it makes sense to consistently do that throughout the document, and that this change would do that.
Okay, so you'd be in favor of the change, Milton? Okay, anyone else care to comment on this before we... I'll take a straw poll since it sounds like we have mixed views on this.
Just from the registrar, this is Tim. Just from the registrar's perspective, it's at least what we discussed is that having this comment about considering uniformity in a policy that is specifically designed to make exceptions, it doesn't seem to make sense.
Okay, Tim, I will note that there are other references to uniformity in the existing procedure. Introducing it here only sort of instructs the board to or advises the board to consider it. It doesn't it won't eliminate the other references to it in the policy.
And given from what I've understood of the registrar's positions on this before, I have trouble understanding why they wouldn't support this. For example, if indeed the exception does provide a competitive advantage to one registrar over another, then ICANN could indeed extend the exception to all registrars and make the proverbial level playing field.
Yeah, I think the way it's being used here, though, it's like... And without personal opinions about whether there should be exceptions at all, but that if we're going to be making exceptions, this seems to insert the concept that, you know, consider that who is uniform as if it's trying to influence whether an exception should be made or not.
No, I view it much more passive. It's like there's a report prepared, and the recommendation can say basically, well, we're making this exception here, and ICANN's board should consider changing, you know, the accreditation contract to include all registrars.
Jordan?
Yeah, Ken?
Yeah. Can I make a comment on this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. First of all, I think it's an unnecessary redundancy, as you indicated. We've discussed uniformity throughout this thing. I don't think we need to keep adding it at every point here. Also, with respect to level playing fields, we, again, I keep reminding everybody that we don't have a level playing field in terms of registry relationships because of the PIC versus the PIN registry. And it would appear now that .NET is not going to become a PIC registry, but will remain as a PIN registry. So it just adds, you know, there's an elephant in the room that we keep ignoring. It. I'm sorry. Or maybe we don't ignore it. It's just that we're only focused on one side of this from a registry perspective. That's how we do it.
Thanks, Ken. Any other comments on this? If not, I'm going to, we'll do another quick straw poll on this to see where we stand. Sounds like we do have a mixed view. I'll start with David Maher. Do you vote, or would you like to accept this change or reject it? And the change would be to insert the reference to uniformity into the board consideration.
Reject.
Okay, Ken?
Yeah, reject.
Tully?
Yes, I'll reject.
Nicholas?
I would support it.
Steve?
Support.
Marilyn?
Support.
Sarah?
Support.
Tony?
Yes, I'll support.
Milton?
I'll abstain.
Okay. And Tim?
Reject.
Okay, and that gives us, Glenn, I have 5 in favor and 4 against, is that?
Exactly.
Oh, I got it right for once.
And 1 abstention.
And one abstention. But we
all. Sorry, I was interrupted, I just want to make sure that we're voting on this... this subclause 4?
In 4, it would be JAB 6 on the document you're looking at.
Okay.
But it's proposal number 5, your mail of 30th of August, right, George?
Yes, that's correct, Tony.
Okay.
So Milton,
so, yeah, I'll keep with an abstain on that then. I just want to make sure we're not voting on.
Okay, so we do have a 5-4 vote, and that's 3 constituencies. 2 with 1 abstention. I mean, once again, just to be consistent with what we did previously, I would say we would not include this change, just given the bare level of support for it. And once again, I'll note that the IPC recommendation will still be included in the report with their constituency statement, and they and hopefully we'll have public comments, and we can reconsider this question before the final report is published. Okay, with that in mind, then I'm going to move on to proposed change number 6, and that is the this change relates to step 5, and it would add text to the last sentence of step 5. So the new sentence would read, ICANN should issue an appropriate notice to the public of the resolution and the reasons for ICANN's forbearance from enforcement of full compliance with the contractual provision in question.
Jordan, I'm sorry to interrupt. I just realized, okay, that there was a confusion on the last vote.
Okay.
I was looking at Roman numeral 4, IV, and you were under step 4 resolution.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, well, I definitely wanted to vote against that, so
well,
that makes your decision maybe a little easier.
Yes, and it's a tie vote in both constituencies and, okay. So now we are to, my decision is the same, Milton, but thank you. Now it's
less of a judgment call. So proposed change number six, then, would be for the... In the last part of step five, this adds some additional language to the last sentence, and basically adds a clause saying, ICANN should issue an appropriate... Well, the original language reads, ICANN should issue an appropriate notice to the public of the resolution and the reasons for ICANN's forbearance from enforcement of full compliance with the contractual provision in question. And the change is to add, comma, including relevant contact information for how such data might be accessed in appropriate circumstances. So this is an addition to step five, and there's been some discussion for on this on the list, and I think, if I recall, Ross has indicated that he does not support this change, and I think Milton...
I definitely do not
support. Did not support this change either, but I'm glad to take other comments on this right now.
This is Steve. I'll just say this is something that in when we circulated the draft report, our members of our constituency strongly supported this. One example would be, you know, if, for example, the result, first of all, I should say, this situation arises, you didn't read the beginning of that paragraph, but if the result of the resolution by the board is that data elements in the registrar's whose output will be removed or made less accessible. So the data is gone in this circumstance, and this is just providing some information about where it might be obtained. For example, if the decision is made to use a tiered access approach, this would tell you how to apply to get into a tier where you can get access to this information. So it's really just to help the who is user who may encounter information missing and where it's appropriate, provide them with some help in finding another way to access it.
Right, and I think what I gathered from the online discussion, and maybe Milton can help me here, is that the objection was that this seems to create an expectation that an alternative mechanism would exist to access the data.
Right, in some circumstances.
So I wonder, Steve, would you be amenable to adding something to the end of this, maybe that said, like, comma, if applicable?
It says in appropriate circumstances, but that could change to if applicable.
Right. Would that satisfy you at all, Milton?
Not really. I think the point here is sort of undermining the whole. The amendment seems to be undermining the whole point. If indeed there is a determination by local or national authorities that displaying this data is against the law. And then ICANN says, well, wink, wink, here's another way to get it. I think we're undermining the whole point of this procedure. It's not that there's some kind of a fairly serious determination that this data shouldn't be there. Then I think ICANN should respect that and not have this presumption that the user has a right to the data. That's our problem with this.
Tony Harris, can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead, Tony.
Yes, I really think that this is in order because really, as Steve was saying, you can't just say, well, the data is questionable according to national law, so it vanishes into thin air, and you know, that's it. Even in the country which has the law which is applied and which is the reason for hiding this data from public view, that same country may have some need to get to this data through either a court injunction or something, some legal mechanism which their own law admits. So what's wrong with saying, you know, if somebody with authority to see this data wants it, where can he find it? I don't see anything wrong with that.
Yeah, I think that would be the job of the local authority and not the job of ICANN. ICANN is talking about who is in the Internet Identifier System. It's not telling, it's not responsible for telling either, you know, privacy requirements or intellectual property enforcement requirements.
But ICANN is responsible for the relationship with the registrars and the registries,
right,
which is defined in the agreements and any policy which is developed.
Exactly. So ICANN says, here's what you have to do, registrar, and here's what you don't have to do under this exception. And that's it. I'm sure there are lots of other ways for all different parties to find out other ways of getting data that they might want for purposes that have nothing to do with ICANN.
That could be, Milton, but I don't think that the point is, as you mentioned just now, that this really puts everything back into square one and any user can just say, well, I'll go to this website and here's a generic password and I can get to this. I don't think that was the intention, and Steve, that's the only point I wanted to make.
Yeah, I understand that. So I think we just may view it differently, and we might have to agree to disagree on this one.
Milton, if this were purely a question of if in Steve's example, tiered access had been implemented, and there was another way, an ICANN sanctioned way of getting at the data, it just wasn't through port 43, would your objection still apply in that case? Would it be bad for ICANN to let people know there was an alternative way to get to the data, just not through port 43?
Yeah, I don't think that's ICANN's job. I think it's, to me, that's creating a presumption that the data is theirs, and if we've erected some little obstacle for you, but on the other hand, we're telling you how to get it. I don't understand it. Let's hear from other constituencies.
Sure. Anyone else want to comment on this?
This is Tim. I guess that, you know, we would agree with for the most part, and also that even though I think Tony and Steve might make some points that. Do we really want to skew off into this discussion and try to hammer this out at this point with this particular issue, or is it something that could be more effectively addressed, get on with the other difference? So I guess what I'd suggest the language as it is and move on.
Okay. Any other comments?
Yeah, Jordan. Just to me, actually, I agree with Tim on that. I think this should be moved on into the implementation area. Let's take a look at this. But we're getting to the point now where we're starting to almost, I won't say micromanage the process, but rather we're getting almost too specific as to how this needs to be dealt with at this point in time.
Thanks, Ken. Any other comments? Okay, if not, I'll do another straw poll. Unfortunately, though, I think I know where this is heading. But let's go ahead and do it. So the straw poll here, if you vote in favor, it would be in favor of introducing this language, which I'll read it one more time. To add to the end of step 5, language indicating that including relevant contact information for how such data might be accessed in appropriate circumstances. So essentially telling people where to look if the data is not available through Whois anymore. David Maher.
I oppose.
Okay. Ken?
Oppose.
Nicholas?
Support.
Steve?
Support.
Marilyn?
I support. Am I voting David's proxy too?
Sure. You did last time.
David support.
Okay. And Sarah?
Support.
And Tony?
I support. I have a mail actually from Maggie giving me a proxy, but I don't know if she sent it to Glenn also.
Yeah. I'm mostly going to do this by constituency anyways, Tony.
Okay, so. ISPCP support.
Okay. Milton?
Oppose.
And Tim?
Oppose.
Okay, so Glenn...
Jordan.
Sorry, Thule, I forgot you.
Yeah, opposed.
And you're opposed. So I think that's 6 in favor, 5 opposed, but we're once again 3-3 deadlocked.
That's five, yes.
So we're going to leave this change out, too. I will note all these changes that are applying purely to the... the guidance are not would not become policy one way or the other, and hopefully the staff will consider the various constituency statements when they're developing the final procedure. So we're going to move to the last change then, which is change number 7. This is from the ISPs. And this would add a new step 6 to the guidance on the procedure. And the step 6 would read as follows. And basically this is just add a review at the end of the process. There's the process is reviewed periodically, but basically step 6 is entitled ongoing review and would read, with substantial input from the relevant registries or registrars, together with all constituencies, there should be a review of the pros and cons of how the process worked and the development of revisions designed to make the process better and more efficient should the need arise again at some point in the future. So that is number 7, and I think there's been some discussion of this on the list. I think Ross, once again, likes the original language. And actually, there's been a fair amount of discussion of this. But Maggie and Steve both like it. Milton proposed replacing this with a sunset provision. I don't know if I've seen anyone else, Milton, support the sunset provision, so I'd probably rather just deal with the proposed change from the ISPs, if that's amenable to you.
Yeah, I didn't see... well, we didn't put forward any specific language anyway, and so we can't really get into that now.
Right, okay.
I think people would... I mean, I do think it's a better option, but we don't have the language on the table.
Right, okay. So... are there any comments for or against this proposed change of adding a periodic or a review at the end of the process? Okay.
I'm ambivalent on it.
You're ambivalent, okay.
I think that from a practical standpoint, if ICANN isn't in a position in the future to periodically review all of the policy implementation that they put forth to find out whether their systems and policies are working effectively for the community in which they serve, and we have to tell them that something is, then we need to, somebody needs a dope slap, if you pardon the expression. You know?
Yeah, Ken, I guess the one thing I would add is this. Although we're providing the policy, just instructs the staff to develop a procedure. So here the policy is that the staff have a procedure, and so it may just be beneficial for the staff to review that from time to time, as opposed to, in most cases, changes to the policy would require the council or the GNSO to be involved again with a new PDP, which wouldn't be required just in amending the procedure from time to time here. Any other comments? Okay, if not, I'm just going to, I'll conduct another straw poll on this. If you support this change, you would be supporting the notion of adding a periodic review, review at the end of the, at the end of the process, in the proposed process. And if you reject it, you don't want that review inserted. So I'll start with David Maher.
Accept.
Please note that your conference will expire in
10
minutes.
Uh-oh, we better hurry. Ken?
I'll accept
it. Tully?
I'll accept it.
Nicholas?
Depending of the exact wording, I could accept it.
Well, the exact wording is what I sent out. do you want me to read it to you again?
Yeah, that would be useful.
Okay, let me just read it one more time. The exact wording is, with substantial input from the relevant registries or registrars, together with all constituencies, there should be a review of the pros and cons of how the process worked and the development of revisions designed to make the process better and more efficient should the need arise again at some point in the future.
I accept.
Okay. Steve?
Accept.
Marilyn?
I accept.
Sarah?
Accept.
Tony?
I accept it.
Milton?
Oppose.
And Tim?
Oppose.
Well, that is, I think, 8 in favor, 2 against, and 4-2 on the constituencies. Does that match your math, Glenn?
Yes.
So we will incorporate that change.
So, Jordan, could we summarize which changes have we accepted here?
One. We have accepted change number 1. Let me just run through my list again. Change number 1 was accepted. Change number 2 was not accepted. Change number 3 was not accepted. Change number 4 was accepted. Change number 5 was not accepted. Change number 6 was not accepted. And change number 7 was accepted. So 1, 4, and 7, Steve, were accepted. Does that clarify?
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, it does.
The last action of the day, then, is to vote for or against the actual procedure as amended now. So we would be voting on accepting or rejecting the entire policy recommendation and the procedure as amended today with changes 1, 4, and 7. And here, if this is supported by the task force and subsequently by the council and the board, this could become, or at least the policy portion of this could become consensus policy.
But, excuse me, Jordan, isn't what we're really voting on to send this to the public comment process?
No, it's going to go to public comment regardless of the outcome of this vote.
Jordan, this is Ross here. I had some substantial problems getting online this morning. Is there any way that you could review the amendment so that I can actually cast the vote at this point?
Yeah, I will briefly. We're going to get booted off the call in 7 minutes.
Yeah,
I'm going to try to do this quite quickly. Ross, the changes that were accepted...
Shall I try and book another call?
I think we can probably get through this, Glenn. The changes that were accepted, Ross, were change number 1, as amended, the change to make the exception apply to all... or to those registries and registrars that the conflict applied to.
Mm-hmm.
We also accepted the change by the registrars, number 4, which is to insert language saying the registrar should attempt to identify a solution that allows the registrar to meet the requirements of both the local law and ICANN obligations, and the general counsel can assist in advising the registrar on whether the proposed solution meets their ICANN obligations.
Mm-hmm.
That was accepted. And the last thing that was accepted was the ISP proposal to add a step 6 for ongoing review into the guidance.
Is there any specificity as to that proposal?
That's the same language I sent out, Ross, that with basically the language is with substantial input from the relevant registries or registrars, together with all constituencies, there should be a review of the pros and cons of how the process worked and the development of the revisions designed to make the process better and more efficient should the need arise again at some point in the future.
This is Tim Ross. I've been on the call and I have voted for the registrar in the straw polls on these issues in line with what we discussed previously.
All right, great.
Okay, so once again, we would be voting now whether to approve or disapprove of the actual policy recommendations, not whether we're going to publish this as a report the PDP doesn't really give us a vote on whether to publish it or not. Presumably, if it's voted down, we should maybe reconsider.
Please note that your conference will expire in 5 minutes.
So I am going to now poll people on whether they approve of the support or reject the entire policy recommendation plus guidance. And this note will be noted in the initial report.
Jordan, is this a formal vote or is it a straw poll?
This is a formal vote. This is a vote required by the PDP.
Okay. Then Steve Metalitz is casting the three votes of the IPC.
Yeah. I think what we'll... Yeah, okay. Thanks, Nicholas. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and start to ask people how they vote then. Is there any other questions for clarity about what we're voting on?
I don't have a question for clarity in Maryland. I'll be dropping off if I don't have time to vote. Sarah holds my proxies and David.
Okay, so I'm going to start then. David Maher?
Support.
Ken?
Support.
Thule?
Support.
Nicholas? Oh, you're saying that Steve's voting for you. Steve?
IPC supports.
Marilyn?
I support, and I vote David in support.
And Sarah?
Support.
Tony?
The ISBCP, the three votes support.
Milton?
NCUC supports.
Ross?
We vote in support.
You don't support?
We do vote in support.
Oh, you do vote in support. Okay, sorry.
Sorry to scare you.
Tim, I guess? I didn't hear what Tim said. Are you back to not voting, Tim?
Well, yeah, I probably shouldn't be, but I support it.
Okay. In any case, it's unanimous. all constituencies and all the voters supported it. We will note the votes in the report, just as we did last time, but here it's a unanimous vote. So,
Jordan, when is our next conference call?
Our next conference call is, since we haven't yet been able to discuss the purpose of Who Is It All, I would like to propose that we actually have another call again next week, and then we'll follow that 2 weeks later.
I won't be able to participate, but we'll see if we can somehow.
Does anyone else have problems with a call next week? The other question I briefly want to ask is Kathy suggested a number of changes to the introductory portion of the preliminary report, and I haven't seen any objections raised to that on the list, which was the standard I had said on the last call we would use for determining whether or not to accept those. Does anyone have any problems with the changes proposed by Kathy? Okay, great. Well, I'll just talk with Maria, and we'll make sure that those get incorporated. So the preliminary report with the vote today and the changes that we've discussed today will be published in the next few days for public comment, and then we'll get back public comments and have a final chance to review the constituency on this topic. We will have a call next week to discuss the purpose of Who Is, and specifically the two questions I'd raised on the list. So please review that as homework before then. And we're going to get booted off in about 30 seconds, so I'm going to wrap up the call. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.